This is the Vaishnavi Retreat, March 6, 2011, Govardhan Lila. Okay, here we are at Govardhan Hill. Do you have anyone who'd like to lead the chanting of this verse? Hantaya Madhura Bala Hari Dasya Varyo.
Hantaya Madhura Bala Hari Dasya Varyo.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasa Pramoda.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasa Pramoda.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoryat.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos
Suya Vasakandara Kandamulai.
Aniya Suya Vasakandara Kandamulai.
Does anyone know who speaks this verse? Radharani, yes, this is in the Bhagavatam. So now we're going to go step by step on a meditation through this verse. So of all the devotees of Krishna, Govardhan Hill is the best. We know in first Ashtashri, when am I supposed to end?
You have one hour, okay.
So you all know in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is in part one, there's a progression that which devotee has received the mercy of the Lord, right? Which is the best devotee? Who's the best devotee? Here, Govardhan Hill is the best. And say, why is Govardhan Hill the best? Why do we say? Of course, Govardhan Hill actually is Krishna. So we have a very other famous personality who's Krishna in the mood of his devotee. Who's that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So here, Govardhan Hill is Krishna, but he's in the mood of Krishna's devotee. Why is he the best devotee? So he's supplying Krishna and Balaram and all their cowherd boys with everything that they need. Govardhan Hill is not only supplying Krishna, but also all the devotees. And what kind of things do they need? Like water. And we always talk about how the devotee should serve not only Krishna, but the devotees of Krishna. Someone who says they're my devotee, they're not my devotee. They have to be the devotee of my devotee. So Govardhan Hill is providing all the devotees, including the animal devotees, with water. Actually, Govardhan Hill is covered with waterfalls. Although we don't see that to our material eyes at the present time. And Govardhan has so many fruit trees and beehives. So giving the devotees and Krishna water, giving them honey, giving them fruit juice. And making sure everyone has something to eat. Not only the human devotees, the animal devotees. So the human devotees may be happy with the honey and the pilu juice, but for the cows, they need grass. This is the mood of the devotee of Krishna. How can I serve all the devotees of Krishna? And how can I serve all the devotees with whatever they need? And nice caves. Because, you know, sometimes it gets very hot. Sometimes it's raining. So some shade, some shelter. Right, here you see one of these caves here. By the way, these paintings are done by Astasaki Lila from New Vrajdam in Hungary. So Govardhan Hill has many, many caves. Now many of these caves are actually internally, they're beautiful palaces. And soft roots. Someone can dig up the various roots all over Govardhan Hill. And many jewels. Now, it's not that you have to mine deep in the ground to get the jewels there. The jewels are just sitting at the top. So this best servant of the Lord is giving not only what we would call necessities, fruit, water, roots, shade, shelter, food for all kinds of devotees, but also opulences. If you're really going to serve the devotees, you don't just give them the absolute bare necessities. Not just, okay, here's a stone floor and a pot of water and some, you know, plain rice. No, you give them something nice, something beautiful, something extra. So also jewels. So giving Krishna jewels. Krishna, of course, loves to decorate himself with jewels. But also for the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, the jewels are just there. Of course, the jewels are also growing on the trees there on Govardhan. And nice places to sit. Of course, none of us today, we don't go to Govardhan Hill and sit on the shilas. You see some of the local Brijbasis doing that, but we don't do that. But Govardhan's providing so many thrones for Radha and Krishna and for all of their friends. And what's Govardhan's happiness? So what's the happiness of the devotee? Devotee like Govardhan is giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Actually, Govardhan's giving with his own body. Where is everybody getting the grass and the roots and the fruits and the water and the caves from? It's from Govardhan's own body. And how does Govardhan feel happy? Just from feeling Krishna and Balaram's lotus feet. Oh, now that's my reward. The devotee also wants some reward. You know that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Prema dhana bina vyarte daridra jivana dasa kori vetha more deha prema dhana. Prema dhana. Dhana means?
Treasure.
Treasure, wealth. Bina. Bina's without. Vyarta. You all know what artha means?
Waste.
Vyarta is waste. What does artha mean?
Wealth.
Wealth, or something you want. Vyarta is useless. So artha is what you want to achieve. Use vyarta. Daridra. Daridra?
Poor.
Jivana. Jiva means?
Life.
So without the wealth of love, of prema, then vyarta, daridra, jivana. You have a useless, poor life. Dasa kori, I want to be your servant. Betan moni. Betan in Bengali means? You know what betan means? Salary. So sometimes we have controversies in ISKCON. Should devotees get a salary? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking for a salary. Betan moi deha prema dan. Get me the wealth of prema. So the devotees want a salary. The devotee is not going to serve for nothing. He wants something. We are not mayavadis. We are not want to be desireless. So Govardhan has a desire. Why is he doing all this service? Because when he does all this service, in order to get the service, Krishna and Balaram and the devotees, they have to walk on him. Because he's providing it from his own body. He's providing the water from his own body, the fruits from his own body, the caves from his own body. So they have to walk on him. That's his reward. Of course, materially, that's considered very inauspicious. Don't just give to others and let them walk all over you, we say in America. Stand up for yourself. Don't lie down and let others walk on you. So it is a fact that being exploited materially is very painful. But letting Krishna and Balaram walk all over you and the devotees walk all over you is a great reward. These, by the way, are the deities from, anyone know? Krishna Balaram, anyone know where they are?
Vrindavan.
No, not Vrindavan. New Mayapur. And this is one of several very special outfits. The deities there have an outfit for each of the seasons. So this is their spring outfit. They have a winter outfit where they have effulgences that look like snowflakes. You know, in Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram and his friends, they walk through six seasonal forests. And when you go to New Mayapur and you see these outfits, it looks like Krishna and Balaram are walking through each of the forests. So Govardhan Hill in this way is giving us an example how to render pure devotional service. What does it mean? How do you do that practically? Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami is praying, let me live near Govardhan. Let me somehow live near Govardhan, who's Krishna relishing being a devotee. And if we hesitate and we think being a devotee like that, giving to that extent, why would we want to do that? We know that this Govardhan is Krishna himself wanting to taste being a devotee. That's how sweet being a devotee is. All right, now we're going to go on to the main Govardhan Lila, where Krishna sees that his father and all the cowherd men are preparing for a very opulent sacrifice. And here Krishna is giving us the example that Srila Prabhupada talks about in Bhagavad Gita 4:34 purport, where he says that blind following is condemned. One example Srila Prabhupada gives of blind following is, oh, so-and-so already has 100,000 disciples, he must be bona fide guru. In logic, we call this bandwagon. That's how they get you to buy things. Everybody else is buying it. You should buy it too. So not blind following. If someone's doing something, to ask, why are you doing this? Is this in the Shastra? The kind of training I got when I first moved in the ashram was you always have to ask, where is this from? Is it bona fide? Who said it? Where is it quoted? I see more and more in ISKCON that this is becoming we're becoming a little careless sometimes. That people will tell stories or they tell this or that, and they don't give any attribution. Where is this from? And if you ask them, where is it from? Oh, I don't know. I heard it from in some village. So to ask, and also to know the purpose. Krishna explains that the sacrifice performed with knowledge yields much more result than the sacrifice performed without knowledge. Of course, Krishna consciousness is so potent that even if you don't understand what you're doing, you'll still get some effect. But one should know very clearly what is one's purpose. One should have a sankalpa. One should have a goal. As they say in business, if you don't know where you're going, you probably won't get there. And why does one have to know where one's going? Because there may be so many blind alleys. Like Rupa Goswami says, there are weeds that look just like the bhakti creeper. If you don't really know what you're looking for, you may be watering a weed for years or lifetimes, thinking, oh, this is actually bhakti, when it's something else. One may become diverted. So one should know, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Where am I going? Where is it coming from? So Krishna is setting this example. And of course, first his father was silent. Oh, it's a little boy, 7-year-old boy. What will he understand? But then Krishna said, well, you can't have any secrets from your family. And then after Nanda Maharaj explains, right, he says, we have to worship Indra. Without worshipping Indra, we won't get any rain. So this is an intelligent society. Modern society, we're told that everything is mechanical. That there's no people behind anything. We used to have a book in our Gurukul library where it said, and maybe my daughter can help me with this because she was the one who discovered it. So this book said, such and such primitive people, they used to imagine that there was a rain god. And these primitive people, they used to believe that somebody hammering in the sky caused the thunder. And this primitive people, they used to just imagine or think or believe that the rain was coming from such and such person. But now we know that thunder and lightning are electricity. Of course, we do not know the source of thunder and lightning. That's pretty good. So really, first they're talking about so-called primitive people who think, believe, imagine what is the source of thunder and lightning. Then they describe what it is, and then they say, well, actually, we don't know the source. Oops, sorry. So they're trying to get people to think that knowing there's a person behind things is primitive, and thinking that things are mechanical is advanced. But actually, they don't know. It's like if you see a car on the road and you just describe what is a car, but you don't describe who made the car. So really, the modern scientists, they cannot describe the source of thunder and lightning and rain. Who's designed everything? And isn't it more intelligent to think that there's a person behind everything? Of course, if you understand that there's a person behind everything, then guess what you have to do with that person? You have to serve them. You have to reciprocate with them. So modern scientists, not all of modern scientists, of course, but modern scientists who teach that the world is mechanical, it's not because they have some greater scientific knowledge. It's because they want an excuse not to surrender, not to serve, not to reciprocate. If we just say, oh, this retreat, it just happened. Nobody planned it. Nobody organized it. And then you don't have to be nice to Prasanta and Mitra anymore. Correct? And you can just treat them as they have nothing to do with anything. It just happened. So modern society, they have no idea that you have to do anything for the devas. So when Krishna appeared, it was not like that. Nanda Maharaj could understand, we're getting this rain. Without the rain, we can't grow crops, we can't take care of our cows. Therefore, we have to reciprocate with them. And then Krishna argued, Indra really can't do anything. Krishna knows when one of his devotees has become proud. And therefore, he acts in such a way to smash that pride. Has that ever happened to any of us? Right? Krishna sets up a circumstance where then we feel, oh, I'm really very insignificant and I'm dependent on the mercy of Krishna. So Krishna was in many ways here, he was insulting Indra. What can he do? He's not very important. And then very quickly, Nanda Maharaj was convinced by this little 7-year-old boy. Okay. At first he argued a little bit. He said, we'll do that one later. And Krishna says, no, right now let's worship Govardhan Hill. Why do we need this Indra? And Nanda Maharaj said, okay, let it begin. Then Krishna gave details how to do the sacrifice. Cook many different kinds of food. Krishna is not boring. He likes so much variety. Have the Brahmins start the sacrificial fires and feed them and give them cows and other gifts. So it's very important. The Brahmanas, who are the teachers of society, they're dependent on the charity of the people in general for their livelihood. And also give food to everyone, Krishna says, also to the dogs and the dog eaters. Make sure everyone is provided for. Not neglect anyone in any kind of body or any kind of status. And then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. So it's interesting, I find it interesting in this Leela, if you look in the Bhagavatam, you'll see how Krishna talks about feeding everybody from the beginning. The Govardhan Puja festival is not a festival of fasting. And to circumambulate the hill, of course, when you visit Govardhan, you still see so many people circumambulating. This is a photograph of our, and there's Bhakti Tirtha Swami coming. This is a photograph of our Govardhan Puja festival we used to have in North Carolina at our Gurukula. And then Govardhan Hill himself manifested a form that he was Krishna. And he ate everything. In fact, not only did he eat everything, he wanted more and more and more. So this is what happens when we serve Krishna, right? And he says, okay, give me more, give me more, give me more. So even today, because Govardhan Hill manifested that he's Krishna, and every part of Krishna is the same as the whole. It's not that you break up Krishna into parts and each part is incomplete. So each little stone and pebble from Govardhan is completely Krishna.
Just see the impudence of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They are simply inhabitants of the forest. But being infatuated with their friend Krishna, who is nothing but an ordinary human being, they have dared to defy the demigods.
Well, somebody wasn't very happy with all this festivities. And we often find that in the material world, that if everybody's happy, somebody's envious. So here, of course, Indra was particularly envious. He's thinking, they're having this big festival, they're having this big party, they're giving all these offerings, but they're meant for me. Why are they giving them to Krishna? So this is our general mentality in this world. If I see somebody getting honor, if I see somebody getting wealth, if I see somebody getting respect, instead of being happy for them, I think, but what about me? What about me? I'm better than that person. Right, so that was Indra's mentality. He said, I'm better than that Krishna. Why are they so proud? Don't they know that I'm the person in charge? And then when we get angry, unfortunately, we often do very foolish things that we later regret. We often act very harshly, even with people that we love very much. So Indra in his anger went way overboard.
Go and I shall follow you, riding on my elephant. Great storms will come with me to hear the proper punishment. But I'm into the wings of clouds, they should be destroyed along with their cows.
So the clouds that destroy the whole universe. And he wanted to destroy Vrindavan. I mean, maybe in our anger we yell at a devotee, we insult a devotee. But Indra got so angry he wanted to destroy all the devotees of Vrindavan. I didn't one time meet a devotee who said to me, my service to Prabhupada is going to be to destroy the Hare Krishna movement and start all over again. Hare Krishna. So this was Indra's mood at this time, that he thought, the best thing I can do is wipe them out totally. Now, please keep in mind, why did everybody do this sacrifice for Govardhan Hill? Who asked them to? Krishna. So they followed Krishna's instructions. And what happens? Right? All of Vrindavan became flooded. It was a huge storm. And sometimes it seems like that. Sometimes it seems that when I surrender to Krishna, the result is that there's a catastrophe. Many times devotees think that the reason that we surrender to Krishna is so everything in our life will just be pleasant. Many people who take to religions do so for that reason. They think that God will go ahead of them with a steamroller, smoothing out the path of their life. Okay, Lord, I surrender to you so everything will be nice. And then when someone follows the instructions of Krishna and the result is a catastrophe, they lose faith in the Lord. There's one devotee I've been working with for years who's in this dilemma. She said, I followed the instructions I was given and my life fell apart. So every everything's flooded. The rain is falling. Have you ever been in a rainstorm when it fell like pillars? Like sheets, where it looked like someone had just taken buckets and buckets of water? And the rain was piercing like arrows, and everything flooded. And everyone was shivering. Right? They were shivering, and you couldn't tell the difference anymore between high land and low land. That the calves went under the bodies of their mothers for shelter, but there was no place to go. There's no place to go, and they went to Krishna. Now, again, he's just a little 7-year-old boy. And they went to Krishna, "Hey, Govinda, please save us. Please save us." Of course, this is just the sweetness of the Leela. All of us have experienced how sweet it is to help somebody. How sweet it is to protect someone. And especially men are like this. They really like to be a hero. One of our preachers in ISKCON, he said that before he joined the movement, he used to fantasize about rescuing ladies from burning buildings. Oh, this is the typical male fantasy. Oh, some woman's tied to the train tracks by the evil demon, and he goes and rescues her. Pulls her out of a burning building, somehow saves the person in distress. So Krishna also, as Prabhupada says, who has all the instincts of a human being, says this in the story of Jambavan. He loves to save his devotees. He loves to be the hero. So he may set up a situation where the devotees need to be saved. And the devotees, because they like to see Krishna happy, they're very happy to participate in these pastimes. So they come to Krishna, "Krishna, save us." So of course Krishna has many purposes by his action. One was to break the pride of Indra, and another was to give shelter to his devotees. Now how is he going to do this? We have the story in the Bhagavatam of Chaivana Muni. Chaivana Muni was given a young body by the Ashwini Kumaras. And they said in return they wanted to be able to drink somaras. But Indra didn't want them to drink somaras because that would give them more potency, more power. And when he came and he was going to kill them, what did Chaivana Muni do? Anybody know? He paralyzed Indra's arm. So Krishna could have stopped this whole catastrophe by just neutralizing Indra. I mean, he could have killed Indra. He could have paralyzed Indra. He could have made the clouds impotent. Simple. And many times we think like that when we're in the middle of some catastrophe. Why doesn't Krishna just go, you know, abracadabra, boof, and make the catastrophe go away? But that's not so much fun. So how does Krishna deal with this catastrophe? He deals with it in an extraordinary way. He's thinking, all right, I have to take care of everyone. Krishna likes to feel like this. Gives him great pleasure. And the devotees are also thinking, yes, Krishna is our protector. How is he going to protect us? They don't know. It doesn't matter. Krishna will do something wonderful. And the sense of that Krishna is our family member, this is actually the definition given by Rupa Goswami in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, quoting Bhishma, of what is Krishna Prema. It means to repose all your feelings of kinship in the Lord. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Janaka Janani Daita Tanai Prabhu Guru Patituhu Sarvamun. Janaka Janani, you are my father, you are my mother. Daita, you are my lover. Tanai, you are my child. Prabhu, you are my master. Prabhu Guru, you're my teacher. Pati, husband, Sarvamun. You're everything to me. If we want relief from the catastrophes of life, we'll not find that relief by going to ordinary persons in this world. We'll only find that by going to Krishna. If we want to be happy in life, we have to see Krishna is my everything. Krishna is my husband, the person who in this world is my husband, he's my service. Krishna is my son, the person who in this world appears to be my son, that's my service. Krishna is my father, Krishna is everything to me. And then Krishna reciprocates. He said, this person sees me as everything, let me take care of him. Then how does Krishna do this? He lifts up Govardhan. Who would ever think that the way to save people from a flood is to lift up a mountain? And then everyone, of course, is gathered under Govardhan. One of the interesting things about this Leela is that generally there's only one group of devotees at a time with Krishna. And Krishna's with his parents, then he's not having intimate dealings with the gopis or the cowherd boys. When he's with the cowherd boys, then he's not with his parents. He's with different groups of devotees at different times of the day and for different leelas. But the Govardhan pastime, when Krishna lifted the hill, was one opportunity for everyone, everyone. And generally when Krishna's in the forest, the birds and the deer, they're with Krishna. When Krishna's back home, the birds and the deer, they have to wait in the forest for Krishna to come back. And Krishna's then with the cows. But in Govardhan Leela, everyone, all the different animals, all the different persons, they could all be under the hill. And this is one of those times also when the gopis could just look at Krishna without any fear of being criticized. They could just stare at Krishna. There's Krishna, our hero. Right? And here you see Krishna's looking at Radharani, at which time that he started to shake and Balaram looked at him. Krishna became embarrassed. You can imagine people might have been a little hesitant. Well, should I really come under this mountain that's lifted by a 7-year-old boy with just one little pinky? Is it stable? So sometimes we think like that also. Can I really take shelter of Krishna? Is it stable? If I take shelter of Krishna, will he drop the mountain on my head? Right? But then we look at the raging storm of material life and say, okay, I'm coming. So this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. He says, ordinarily a large cowherd community, which included many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, couldn't fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Sri Govardhan. However, because the hill was in ecstasy, being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. So Govardhan got the potency to be big enough to shelter everyone. Nanda Maharaj had how many cows? 900,000. That's a lot of cows. Now, I haven't done the math. Maybe some of you can do the math for homework. We can present it tomorrow. What's the area of ground that a cow would take up? And then we could calculate the area covered by Govardhan Hill and see if even 900,000 cows would fit in that area. What do you think? Think it would work? No. I think our scholar here thinks it wouldn't work. What about all the people? And all the deer and all the birds? And there were also, Krishna had goats and buffalo too, you know. You have to fit them all under. So the hill became very big. And then the other feature mentioned here is that Govardhan didn't feel any distress. This is the great secret So Krishna alludes to this in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that if one is in samadhi, that way you're free from all material miseries. Generally, the way we want to become free of all material miseries is by doing what? Think of the last time you had some material misery, or maybe someone has some material misery right now. How do you try to get free of it? What do? You chant. Oh, you're all fine. You don't have to watch this presentation.
Go to a friend.
Huh?
Go to a friend.
What else?
Try to fix it.
Try to fix it. Generally, the main thing we try to do is fix it. We're trying to adjust the material energy to make it perfect. Fix my body so it will work properly. Fix my mind so it will work properly. Fix my emotions so they'll work properly. Fix all my relationships so they'll work properly. Fix the other people with whom I have relationships. Fix their body, fix their mind, fix their emotions. Fix my house, fix my car. And I think if I do that, then I won't suffer anymore. Fix the environment, have air conditioning, heating. So does it ever work? Do you ever get the environment perfect? For a minute, maybe. Right? Every once in a while, you know, you just get your house exactly the way you want it, and all the other people in your life are treating you the way you want them, the way you want them to, and your body's healthy, and your mind's peaceful, and you think, okay, now stay. Like you set people up for a photograph, you know. Okay, freeze. So you get everything and then stay. And then what happens? Material nature is endlessly mutable, and it doesn't stay perfect, does it? It shifts. So just even to get everything perfect, maybe you have a few minutes in your life where everything's okay. Ah, got it. So that's generally how we try to become happy. But first of all, material nature is always shifting. It doesn't work. And second of all, that's external to me. I'm not really part of material nature. That's not really where the source of my happiness comes from. So the way one really gets free from all distress and really becomes happy is to be so absorbed in ecstasy because of our being in touch with Krishna. Prabhupada explains in the teachings of Lord Kapila that this is true even materially. If your mind is fully absorbed in something, you don't notice any material distress. You don't notice anything that's going on in material. So this is what Govardhan Hill showed. He didn't even notice Indra throwing his most devastating weapons to destroy the universe. I mean, we think we have problems. We think, oh, I have to deal with this envious person, or this difficult person, that difficult person, this difficult situation. I'm sure none of us have ever dealt with someone who had the power to destroy the universe trying to kill us. And he felt it was nothing. He felt it was like being hit with flowers. How? Because he was thinking, Krishna's touching me with his hand. Krishna's touching me with his hand. Krishna's touching me with his hand. And he was so absorbed in that many times he didn't even notice that Indra was using his total power to kill him. The next time someone does something to hurt us, whether they do it purposely or inadvertently. I recently had somebody who was really trying to hurt me. So I'm sure I'm the only one who has this experience, right? So next time somebody's trying to hurt us, for whatever reason, Govardhan wasn't Indra's enemy, but to try to rescue his own false pride, he was attacking Govardhan. Somehow or other, to get that touch with Krishna, yoga, bhakti yoga, yoga is to connect, to get that touch with Krishna. And then everyone who was under the hill, they forgot about everything. Krishna forgot about everything. And they were there for a week, but they weren't thirsty. They weren't tired. They just forgot. Oh, there's Krishna. So what's Indra thinking during all this? He's gradually thinking, Whoops. I think I made a mistake. Now, this is also a very important example for us, because probably I'm the only one here who ever makes mistakes. And sometimes there's serious mistakes. This mistake that Indra made, hopefully, is far more serious than any kind of mistake any of us have ever made. Srimati was reading the offenses against Vaishnavas. Remember the first one? Killing them. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if anybody here ever tried to kill a Vaishnava? Hopefully not. Oops. Sorry, we'll go back. So Indra was trying to kill not only Vaishnavas, but the residents of Vrindavan in Krishna's presence. That's how angry he was. And he really tried to kill them with his greatest power. When we do something horrible and offensive, then it behooves us to realize that and make amends. That's very difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult. It's hard to admit I really made a mistake. So Indra is beginning at this point to admit that I did something wrong. At least he stops his angry behavior. So then Krishna tells everyone, okay, now the danger is past. You can all go home. And then I've always wondered how Krishna did this. There's now a cartoon movie of Krishna putting down Govardhan Hill. I don't know if any of you have seen that, but it shows him like running his finger along the end and then kind of slipping out just in time. So I thought, oh, that's really smart. Maybe that's how he did it. Won't that be nice someday when we enter into Krishna's pastimes and we can see, I want to see how Krishna puts down Govardhan Hill. Because he's under the hill, you know. He puts it down exactly in the same place. Could you do that? Put something down exactly in the same place. And then everybody was so happy. The demigods were showering flowers. Each resident of Vrindavana, they were greeting Krishna and praising him according to their own positions. Now, Indra was very smart. He thought, if I just go see Krishna on my own, he probably won't deal with me. So he brought a devotee with him. He brought Sirhavi to see Krishna. And he came to apologize. So, for me at least, I'm not going to say if I do something wrong. I'm going to say when I do something wrong. Because for me, it's not a matter of if. And of course, I always think, oh, I'll never do anything wrong again. This will be the last time. I'll never offend anybody again. But when we offend the devotee, we offend Krishna. We need to come and offer our genuine forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness means we really try to understand how we have caused pain to somebody else. Try to see things with empathy from their perspective and being willing to take a position of humility. And I mean, I find it so difficult. What to speak of Indra, how difficult it must be. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, we say. If you have a very big position, how difficult it is to admit, I really made a mistake. Instead of admitting we made a mistake, what do we usually do? What kind of things do we do?
Yeah, but.
Yeah, but. Okay. Yeah, I made a mistake, but I had this reason and that reason, and it wasn't really so bad, and why you think it's such a big deal, and it wasn't really a big deal, and I don't know what you're so upset about. What else do we do?
Blame others.
Well, of course I did that. Yeah, maybe I did something bad, but hey, you were the one who stopped my sacrifice. I mean, what do you expect? Of course I'm going to be angry and want to kill you and all your friends if you stop my sacrifice. That's completely justifiable. I mean, if you were the one who just let the sacrifice go on in the first place, I wouldn't have gotten angry. So we blame others. What else do we do?
Defend ourselves.
Well, I'm really a good person. I was just trying to do this. I was just trying to be helpful. I was just joking. What else do we do?
Cover it up.
Cover it up. I didn't do anything wrong. Who told you I did something wrong? What else? Change the topic. Somehow we try to run away. Right? Extreme cases. Well, I'm just a terrible person. I'm just going to run away. I won't do anything anymore. I'll quit. I'm so offensive. I won't do any service anymore. You know, I just won't run the heavenly planets anymore. I'm no good. I quit. You'll have to find another Indra. Goodbye. So I had to run away. A deep apology, an honest apology, is extremely difficult. Or even if we say, I'm sorry, it's often, I'm sorry just to get out of trouble. I'm sorry. So it's very nice that Krishna allowed Indra to approach him in a solitary place. You allowed him to have some privacy. So if somebody offends us, we should also be compassionate. You know, think how difficult it is from our perspective when I do something wrong. How difficult is it for me to even understand that I did something wrong and to have a heartfelt, genuine apology with no yes buts, no blaming, no excuses, no running away, just a real apology. It's so difficult. So it's difficult for the person who offends us also. Now, as Krishna says in the sixth chapter, we should see others' happiness and suffering in relation to our own. If somebody's offended me, I should make it easy for them to apologize. So Krishna also makes it easy for Lord Indra. He doesn't have to apologize in front of all the residents of Vrindavan. Now, it's really interesting how Indra apologizes. He realizes the root of his problem. He doesn't just look at the behavior. He doesn't just say, well, I tried to kill everybody. He realizes, I did this because I was very proud. I was bewildered. And he asks, again, not just that he doesn't do the behavior, but he asks for a change in consciousness. Now here we have Krishna so sweetly speaking about why he chastises his devotees. Why does Krishna want us always to remember him? Because he knows that only by remembering him are we going to be truly happy. That as soon as we're blinded by our own opulences, all of us have some opulence. Prabhupada says everyone has some extraordinary talent. And most of us exaggerate our opulences and think that we have much more than we really have. But when we're intoxicated by our opulence, I'm so good at this, I'm so clever at this, we can't remember Krishna. Because really, whatever we have is Krishna. Krishna is our ability. He is our intelligence. You can say he's giving it to us. He says he is that. So Krishna wants us to remember that because that's how we be happy. We all have experience as members of the Hare Krishna movement that when we use these abilities and intelligence and opulence for Krishna and we're connected with Krishna, how happy we feel. If you just think of the things you do where you feel really, really happy. It's when you feel that connection with Krishna, isn't it? You feel Krishna's using me as his instrument. And that all these things I so-called have, all these opulences of mine, they're all really Krishna. That's the taste that we're looking for. That connection with Krishna. And we also experience, as soon as I think it's me, I'm the one who has the power, I'm the one who has the connections, I'm the one who has the intelligence, I can do it. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaha miti manyute. Then your connection is covered. And all you feel is this sort of nastiness. So Krishna wants us to always be filled with happiness. Therefore, he tries to break this covering of ahankara. And here you see how kind Krishna is. He's not wanting to take away Indra's position. He doesn't say, okay, you rascal, go to the hellish planets. And what Indra did was very serious. It wasn't a minor offense. He says, go back to your position, but do it properly. So Indra is very grateful, and he has his elephant bathe Krishna with Ganga water, whereas Surabhi is bathing Krishna with milk. And in Vrindavan, especially at that time, that even the cruel creatures, they gave up their envy.
All the people love Vrindavan.
Therefore, after meditating on this pastime, who wouldn't want to worship Govardhan Hill? So I thought we could learn a verse. This is written by Raghunath Das Goswami. So first we can hear Mukunda Datta singing it.
Girindra Haridasa Shri Varyeti Namamritamidamuditam Shri Radhika Bhakta Chandrat Raja jana tilagatve vartha vedai spukam me nijanikatane vasam dehi govardhanatvam.
Okay, the meter is a little difficult and some of the lines are stopped in the middle. So it's a little bit of a challenge. We can try now to sing it with him.
Giri nirbha haridasa
Shreni varyeti namam
Vrita
vidam dita tri Radhika vatra chandra
Raja jantila gatve
Klipta veda istukamne
Nidhita nikata nivasam
Dehi govardhanatvam.
So this is This is one of 8 verses glorifying Govardhan Hill. So here the translation is, O Govardhan, O King of Mountains, O Hill whose nectar name, the best of Lord Hari's servants, flows from the moon of Sri Radha's mouth. O Hill that the Vedas declare to be the tilak marking of Raja, please grant to me residence near you. So, as we said in the beginning, the person who's glorifying Govardhan is the best of Krishna's servants, the Srimati Radharani herself. So we can say it one more time.
Giri nirbha haridasa
Shreni varyeti namam Vrtam yuditam shri Radhika patra chandra
Hope you like that. We can have the lights on. We have lights. So we could take just a couple minutes if there's anything anybody wanted to discuss. And then we're going to have our meditation on Shikshastika to end the night. Is there any points from this anyone wants to discuss? Just 5 minutes. The number changed, yes. That wasn't a static number.
Huh?
That wasn't a static number.
Yes,
yes. So a lot of cows. So yes, there were a lot of cows. But they'd also give some away to the brahmanas. They were often giving away lots of cows when they'd have more babies. Then they still all fit under there, all those cows, all those people. Yes?
You were making the point that Krishna was very merciful that he let Indra apologize in a secluded place. But it seems that Indra made an offense against the Vaishnavas. And so often we hear, and Swajitam Mahaprabhu himself said this, that, you know, I can't accept you.
The one who offended Shiva Thakur.
He said, I can't accept you until the devotee you've offended has forgiven you. So it almost seems like Indra bypassed all the Vaishnavas.
But his main offense was against Krishna. His offending the Vaishnavas was, in his mind, more incidental. So he was really angry at Krishna. That's a very good point.
So the offense was really...
It was really to Krishna.
Even though he was trying to kill all
He was trying to kill everybody. Let me wipe out Krishna with all of his friends.
I guess kind of like Agasura
was, well, he was also really aimed at Krishna. Whereas you find Hiranyakashipu, although he was aiming at Vishnu, it was a little different. The reason he was aiming at Vishnu was, if I can kill Vishnu, then everybody else will suffer. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking of Vishnu as the root, and he said, I'll cut down Vishnu, and that way I'll cause pain to everyone else. Whereas Indra was thinking, if I devastate everyone, that will really get Krishna. Yes?
So looking at the Vaishnava from your own planet, which
one? I don't know. Does anybody know what planet Surabhi came from? Our Bhagavatam scholar just went to take rest. Anything else? Okay, well, I hope you like this meditation on the Govardhan Lila. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.